So they went along and went along, and finally they came to the king's palace. "Oh, your majesty, we have something very important to tell you," said Goosey Lucy. "The sky is falling." "The sky is falling? How do you know the sky is falling?" the king asked. "Well, Ducky Lucky told me," said Goosey Lucy. "Cocky Locky told me," said Ducky Lucky. "Henny Pen told me," said Cocky Locky. "Chicken Little told me," said Henny Pen. "And I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. And a piece of it fell on my tail," said Chicken Little. The king looked at Chicken Little, then reached into her feathers and pulled out an acorn. "Chicken Little, the sky isn't falling. It was an acorn that fell on your tail," said the king. And all the animals laughed, and Chicken Little laughed too, and they all went back home again. You know what the problem is with this story? It ain't funny. It's not funny. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I thought about this. This is what I'm going to do. This week, I'm going to go buy me a frame, and I'm going to print me a sign that says, "In case of emergency, break glass." And I'm going to put this in a frame with a little sign right above it. Just to remind me that worry doesn't get me anywhere. And just because somebody else thought the sky was falling does not mean the sky is falling.
Amen.
But I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. The sky is not falling. And what can we add one measure to our statue? Does God not love us more? There is the question. Pastor Mike? Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Amen. Do we know today by the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, no? Let's stand and make that prayer.
Okay.
Or is it up there?
No, it's not.
Okay, ready? Today,
by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into his image.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Last week, as Pastor was preaching this message, that if you were not here, I encourage you to make sure you get the message. If you were here, I hope you took really good notes. And this morning, you've been given the notes of last week's sermon filled in, so you've got that. And I encourage you to read that every day this week, to read the scriptures, to read the notes, and to stir this up. And I'm going to give you some things. As he was preaching, I was just exploding on the inside as I was seeing things from my giftings point of view. And it was just so exciting. And every day this week, I mulled these words over. I looked at the scriptures. I stirred this word up. And I was just so excited to be able to... What you need, James? A Bible? Okay. Good. They've got two that needs a Bible. I'm sorry we didn't ask. But I stirred these things up. And man, I saw something last Sunday when he was preaching. I wanted to jump up and do it, but you know, she wants one. But you know, the service took the way that it took, and it was so good. The questions, the answers, the time, the fellowship, and y'all, when we come into Revelation as a body, as a group of people, we need to understand that the power of God is here. And it's one thing that as I'm experiencing Revelation, as I'm understanding what's being taught, as the word is becoming real to me, that's one thing. But when you start adding more people to the revelation, we start getting a greater revelation. And I believe the anointing of God is here because, you know, you and I would not be here by happenstance. We're not here by happenstance. I believe we're here by divine appointment. God knew before the foundation of the world that you would be sitting right where you are today. God knew that we would be here. And God knew that there was something that he wanted to impart to us in great revelation so that when we walked out of those doors, we wouldn't say, well, I just got my ticket punched today because I went to church, so maybe God will be happy with me. No, but we would leave this place equipped that we have received. We have applied a truth to our life that would make a difference today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Because how many of us know we need a difference today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? Somebody's going to need it Friday. Somebody's going to need it Saturday. And bless God, we're going to be all getting ready for some more next Sunday. It's because as we come together as a group of people and revelation knowledge is going forward, yes, it's great when I receive it, but it's so much greater when we all receive it together, because I believe the power of God is here to say, now I'm going to give you greater revelation, because it's not for an individual. It's for you as a group. It's for you as an individual. It's for me as an individual. It's for family units. It's for whatever's happening in this body. The great revelation was here. And last week we heard a word and we talked about that, and the questions were so good. The questions were so good and the answers were so good that came forth. How God was revealing to us that there are situations and circumstances that the enemy would use to get us all out of whack. The enemy would use to get us out from under our umbrella of protection. But see, when we come together and we understand what it takes to stay in our umbrella of protection and the word comes forth, that word comes forth to equip us so that we can go out and do what God's called us to do. It's not, we don't get the word so I can be blessed. We get the word so we can be a blessing out there. Because y'all, there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to know our Jesus. And last week, the main thing we understood was that every answer to every circumstance, to every situation in this room and out there, the answer is Jesus. I shared this with Pastor when I was in my CNA classes a couple of months ago. I was sharing with some of the people during a break about the book, The Shack. You all know I like the book, The Shack. And I was sharing with some of the people in my class about the book, The Shack. There was a girl sitting over to my right that I had no idea was listening to our conversation. Her name is Babette. And Babette was listening to me tell them that the book, The Shack, is a book that helps us understand that life in God is not about religion, it's about relationship. It's not about do's and don'ts, it's about who we are, whose we are, and the fact that we belong to Him, and who He is in us. And how to relate. It's much more important to get the relationship right than it is the religion right. Because if you get the relationship right, the religion really won't have any effect on your life at all. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about our relationship with Him. Knowing who He is. Knowing what He has accomplished. Knowing what He is doing today. And the purpose and the will of the Father in our lives, we'll never know it if we're not in relationship. There's a billion people out there today that are doing it by religion. There are a few people that are understanding that life in God is not about the do's and don'ts. It's about the relationship with Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I was sharing with these people about the book. About 3 weeks ago, I got a text. Is that how you say it? A text on my phone. Now, I'm not a technical person, so for me to know how to do text, y'all, is a miracle. But anyway, I got this text on my phone, and the text said, "Mike, this is Babette from CNA school. She said, I want you to know that The Shack has changed my life. She said, I heard you talking to the other people about that book. She said, I got the book and I read it, and she said, I will never be the same. She said, all my life, it's been about religion. And now I understand it's about relationship. She said, call me as soon as possible. So how many know? I picked up the phone and called a girl. and we had a great conversation. And she said to me, she said, I didn't know it was possible. She said, I have been in church all my life. And she said, I did the do's and the don'ts. And she said, I was raised Catholic. But she said, I had no idea that life in God is about relationship. And she said, this has changed my life. And she said, do you remember Adisha? Adisha was a person in our class too. She said, I gave her my book and she's reading it. Y'all, we don't know who's listening to our conversations. We don't know lives that are going to be touched. I can take no credit for that. I was sharing with somebody else. And God got her ear and said, don't you listen to this. And I want you to go back. She said, Mike, I am a thrifty shopper. She said, I never pay full price for anything. She said, I won't do it. She said, but I went into Target and I looked for that book and I paid full price for it. She said, something about it drew me. Now, y'all, the shack is not the answer to the world. Jesus is. The shack helped point her there. And so that was great. Last week, as Pastor was preaching, let's start with the scripture he started with. And the scripture that you read a while ago, as soon as we got through with worship, when I get through, would you read that again? You know what scripture it is? Okay. About the birds of the air. Okay. Okay. Okay, we're going to look at the scriptures that Pastor said last week. And I want to get to a particular place because there was a particular thing that the Lord said to me. And when I heard this, my first thought was, because there wasn't an opportunity to share last week, my first thought was, well, this is for you, Mike. And I took it to heart. And I've been doing all week long what I'm fixing to share with you guys. And it's really making a difference. It's really making a difference. So I want to stir this with you. But I want to get there the way Pastor got there. First, he started with Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And it says this, and I'm reading out of the New King James Standard. It says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Now, our confession is that we would be transformed into his image. That's exactly what that scripture is saying that that's all about. Is that the one we know about, that we're being transformed into the image of God. Now, I'm not going to be Jesus. Anybody that tells you they're Jesus, they're wrong. Anybody that tells you they know the day and the hour that he's returning, they're wrong. It's not true. They don't know. I don't care who they think they are. I don't care how they think they got it. They don't know. The word says Jesus doesn't know. And you can explain all around that you want to. Y'all, the one thing we need to know, he's returning. It might be today. It might be 10 years from now. It might be 100 years from now. But we should live as if it's this afternoon. It would change the way we do everything if we did live that way. But he said, and we know that all things work together for good. When we were talking about this last week, there was another scripture that was mentioned, and I want to turn there. We didn't turn there, but Pastor mentioned it. John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. And my hope is that this week that you'll read John chapter 10 and verse 10, and you'll read it a lot, and you'll put it to memory. And you'll stir it in your life, and you'll stir it in your week, and you'll stir it in your day, and you'll stir it in your hour, and you'll stir it in your second. Because when this becomes revelation, it changes everything. Last week, Pastor alluded to this verse several times, but I want us to look at this. It says this, for the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's why the enemy's coming. Now, we also know from another verse that the enemy is just as a roaring lion. That's what, you know what he is? He's a toothless lion. Jesus pulled all his teeth when he descended into hell and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He detoothed. What's that word? Is that the word? He detoothed the devil. The devil doesn't even have any teeth, y'all. All he is a roaring lion. He wants to intimidate. He wants to manipulate. He wants to control by being a roaring sound. And sometimes that roaring sound is a still small voice. Sometimes that's all it takes. He says, you're looking in the mirror and you see a lump and you think, the devil says, you've got cancer. You're going to die. I'm going to take you out. Sometimes he didn't even have to say that. He just says, you've got cancer, and that's all it takes. You go, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But you see, the thief, it says here that he comes but for three reasons. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, as we look in a few minutes at Jesus and when he was talking to the disciples at feeding the 5,000, we need to understand something. When a question is asked of us, we need to ask, number one, is this question about something stealing in my life, something killing in my life, or something destroying my life? Because if it is, then I know it's not from God. If it's death, destruction, and stealing, then it's not God. Let me say that again. If it's death, destruction, and stealing, it's not God. And if I understand that, when something's coming against me and I know that it's death, it's producing death, it's producing destruction, it's producing something being stolen from me, then I know this is not God. And there are people who will stand in the pulpit today and say, whatever's going on in your life, God's letting it happen. It's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. Now the word says in Romans that we know all things work together for good. That, what that is saying is, what the enemy's meant for harm, God will turn it around for your good. But first of all, we've got to identify where it's coming from. Because it can't be turned around for our good if we receive it. If we accept it. I know somebody that I love very, 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 very much. Who calls, when I talk with her on the phone, she says to me, Mike, I know I've got Alzheimer's. And I say, Mama, stop saying that. I said, Mama, you're 70 years old. You're going to forget some things. I'll be 53 in a couple of months. And y'all, I forget as much as she does. And I'm not receiving Alzheimer's. I'm not going to receive it. But she's bound and determined. Well, you know, my sisters, they died with Alzheimer's. My brother has Alzheimer's. So I know I'm going to get it. Y'all, if it's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, where's it coming from? The enemy. So if that's where that is, then we need to find is, okay, if that's where that is, what is the opposite of that? Read the rest of the scripture. He says, the thief comes not except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then he says this, I have come that they, and y'all, this is so exciting to me. Do you know what that word they means? Means you. Means me. When he said that word they, he said, I have come that they. And what you can say is, Jesus says, I have come that James. I have come that Felicia. I have come that Anna. I have come that Dan. I have come that they might have life. Say life with me. Life. The word life there, in the Greek, is the word Zoe, Z-O-E, Zoe. Jesus said, I have come that Samima might have Zoe, that Jonathan might have Zoe, that Judy might have Zoe. And then he doesn't stop there. Not only that they might get it, but they'd have it how? Abundantly. Abundantly. The word Zoe is the God kind of life. The word Zoe is the God kind of life. In Pastor's notes from last week, down at the bottom, he said this, he has thoughts towards you concerning sin, so he provided a Savior. So when sin is an issue, the answer is the provision of God, which is the Savior. He has thoughts towards you concerning sickness, so he provided what? Come here, help me preach this morning. He has thoughts towards you concerning sickness, so he has provided what? A healer. He has thoughts towards you concerning daily living, so he's provided what? A shepherd. Are y'all got the same notes that I got? Jonathan handed it to you. Okay, he has thoughts concerning, he has thoughts towards you concerning spiritual growth. So what did he provide? A Holy Spirit. Thank you. Now you're helping me preach. He has thoughts concerning, towards you concerning the future. So what did he provide? If that don't light your fire, your wood is wet. That's all I got to say. If that don't rattle your cage, your bird is dead. That's all I got to say. I'm telling you, every avenue of your life, God has made a provision. But y'all, he didn't just make just a little provision. He said, I have come that you, Put your name right there where it says the word they. That you might have life. That you might have Zoe. That you might have the God kind of life. Now, do you think in the God kind of life there is such a thing as sickness? Do you think in the God kind of life there's such a thing as lack? Do you think in the God kind of life there's such a thing as addiction? Thank you. Help me preach this morning. Don't just look at me this morning. If it gets too hot in here and you go to sleep, we're going to cut it down and freeze you this morning. I want you to get in this with me. I have been in this every day this week and it's changing my life. What is it that you're dealing with? Because whatever it is, there's an answer in Jesus. God said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, are you going to live in the death, being stolen from, and destruction? Or are we going to live in the life? Are we going to live in the Zoe? Are we going to live in the God way? The challenge is, that there's a people somewhere, somehow, some way that's going to stand up and say, I am going to live the way God has provided for me. I am not going to live in death, destruction, and being stolen from any longer. I received a word from the Lord this week. He said to me through a pastor on the video, he said to me, what the enemy has stolen from you, you will get restored back in your life sevenfold. Ministry, anointing, life, sevenfold. And I said, Lord, I receive that. I'm not moved by where I am today. I'm not moved by my circumstances. I'm not moved by my situation. I thank you, Father, that there was a time in my life when there was ministry, there was anointing, there was things that were happening that were beyond anything I could have ever imagined, dreamed, or hoped for. And God sent me an angel when I was living in Savannah, Georgia, to stand in front of me and say, I want you to know something. Your future is far greater than your past. And then he looked at me and said, do you know where that's coming from? I didn't even know this man. He was an angel God sent to me. And y'all, I could look back and say, well, this one did this to me, and this one did this to me, and this happened to me when I was a child, and this happened to me. All that is death, hell, and destruction. But you see, I'm not living today because of what's happened. I'm not living today because of my circumstances. I'm living today because I choose to receive the Zoe, God kind of life that Jesus said that He came to give to me, and not just to give it to me in a little way, but to give it to me abundantly. Abundantly. And I'm not talking about possessing, y'all. I'm not talking about a big house and a fancy car. I'm talking about the life of God. I've had good stuff. I've lived in nice ways. I've driven nice cars. Y'all, I just want what God has for me. Period. If any of that happens to fall into it, thank you, Jesus. If it doesn't, as long as I can get from point A to point B, as long as I can lay my head down on a bed at night, as long as I can feel this fat tummy, that's all I care about. What I really want is the anointing of God. I want the life of God. I want the Zoe of God. Say Zoe. Zoe, yes. Yeah, somebody's going to have a baby and going to name it Zoe. I just got that by the Spirit. That today you got that word on the inside of you. And you have a baby. You're going to have a little girl. And you're going to name her Zoe. I don't know who that's for. It's not for me. Thank you, Jesus. But whoever that's for, you name that baby Zoe. And every time you speak her name, you're going to speak the abundant life of God. The God kind of life. Ooh, I wish I'd have been named Zoe. Woo! Can you tell this has really stirred me? It just a little bit. Oh, now I want to get to where... Turn with me to John chapter 6. Oh, Pastor, would you read John 10:10 whatever it is I gave you?
Yeah, Amplified. Amplified version of John 10:10 says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
To have it to the full till it overflows. To the full till it overflows. Now, if we're living in the abundant life of God, Are we worried about if the bills are going to get paid this month? Are we worried about what symptoms our body is trying to throw our way? Are we worried about our lost loved ones that are out there? Are we worried about what's going on in America? Thank God I'm not of this country. I'm of a new kingdom, and it's called the kingdom of God. And wherever these 2 feet tread, whatever ground, land, sea, wherever they tread, I am not of that kingdom. I am of the kingdom of God. I am born again into the family and the life and the house of God Almighty because of Jesus Christ. Not because I did anything right, because He took care of it all. Because of Jesus. Okay, John chapter 6. And Pastor was reading this last week, and he got to one scripture, and I didn't go any further in my head because I was stuck. A thought came to me. I know it was from the Spirit of God. And when it did, I just nearly did flip flops. I wanted to jump up and preach so bad I couldn't stand it. But I held myself and I talked about it all week, and now I get the opportunity. Now, I want you to say, so I looked at all three of the accounts of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now, let me share a little bit of history. I'm sure everybody knows this, but I want to share so that we're all on the same page with our thinking. Because this became very important to me this week as I was thinking about it. You see, Jesus had just learned that his friend, his cousin, and the front runner of his ministry, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. He just learned about that. They came to him and said, Jesus, did you hear about John the Baptist? And he said, what happened? They said, they killed him because of what he's done for you. And the word says that Jesus went to separate himself. Now, at this point, Jesus is a man. And I'm sure that he wanted, as when bad news comes, sometimes we like to just get away. Let me just go away and think about this for a minute. My cousin, my friend, the guy who said, this is he. The guy that baptized me, they just killed him because of his stands for me. And Jesus said, I'm going to separate myself and I'm going to go away and I'm going to think about this for a minute. I'm sure that he was dealing with grief. And so Jesus tried to separate himself. But you see, he had been in these cities and he had performed some miracles and the people wouldn't let him go. When he went away to separate himself so that he could deal with the thoughts of John the Baptist, the word says that this multitude of people began to follow him. And they evidently got pretty far away out of the city. And we know because of last week's sermon that the number was at least 5,000. I would say comfortably we could say 15,000. Because if you add women and children, you're probably going to get a whole lot more than just the men. Because as in most churches, there's a lot more women and children than there are men. And so Jesus is out there on this hillside, and he's trying to think about his friend, his baptizer, maybe even in a form his pastor, the man who heralded his ministry, has been killed because of his stance for Jesus. And the word says he went away, he separated himself and he went away, and the multitudes followed him. And he got up there and he was thinking about, and then the word says that he noticed the people. And the word said he was moved with compassion. And he began to pray for them and heal their sicknesses and diseases. Now, this is a man who needed just a couple minutes to separate himself, but he didn't get that. Because that's just who he is. He's all about you. He's all about me. And he began to pray for the people. They began to be healed, and the diseases were gone, and the sicknesses were taken care of, and the move and the power of God. And as Pastor shared with us last week, he'd already changed the water into wine, and he had already done some amazing miracles. Amazing miracles. Now, the multitude saw it, and they were so, what is the word, enamored by it, that they followed Jesus. How much more do we think that probably the disciples saw? and were enamored by it. I mean, they walked with him. They lived with him. They knew that he wasn't just a Sunday morning preacher, but that what he taught, he walked. What he said, he lived. It wasn't just something to build a ministry to raise some finances, but it was his life. They knew it was real. And here in John chapter 6, in verse 5 it says, "And Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming to him, he said to Philip," now get this, "he said, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" Now, when Pastor read this last week, my first thought was, and this is something that I have said almost, I guess, every time I've ever preached here, is that you know that when Jesus asks a question, it's not because he needs the information. When the Holy Spirit asks a question, it's not because he needs the information. When God the Father asks a question, it's not because he needs the information. He asks a question, Michelle, so that you and I will go, "Okay, where are we going to get the money to feed all these people?" The word says, Philip said, oh, let me read it. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't want to do that. But look at verse 6. And this is why this is a great foundation for what I just said. "But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." Jesus already knew the answer. "And Philip said to him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may have something to eat." When Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to get the money to feed these people?" Philip said, "There's not enough. We don't have enough. There's not enough here." Jesus already knew the answer. Get this. Please get this in your heart. Jesus already knew the answer. He's asking the question to reveal where Philip's thinking was. Philip said, "There's not enough money. We don't have enough. There's a bunch of people out there." Y'all, there's some of us today that are looking at the bank account, wondering how we're going to eat this month. And Jesus is saying, "What's it going to take to feed the people around you? There's not enough to feed us." And then look at this. Look at what happens here. Okay, Philip, he bit that thing and he said, "There's not enough money." And then Andrew said this. Simon Peter's brother said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many people?" He says, "There's a kid over there with a sack lunch. What's that going to do with 15,000 people?" Then Jesus said this, "Make the people sit down." And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And then Jesus took the loaves and the bread and he blessed it and they spread it out. And everybody got fed. Everybody got fed. Okay, first of all, Jesus asked a question. And the first response from Philip was, "We don't have enough money." The second response from Andrew was, "Well, we've got something, but it's not near enough. We've got something, but it's not near enough. It's not going to meet the need. What we've got is not going to do it." When I went to look at Matthew and Luke, the accounts of these things, it didn't talk about what Philip and Andrew said. You know what it said that the other disciples said? Get this. The other disciples said this. Said, "Send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and buy for themselves. They take care of themselves." So I begin to think, one of them said, "We haven't got enough money." The other one said, "Well, we've got some food, but what's that?" And the other one said, "Let's not even deal with it. Just send them away." And the word says that Jesus asked them because he already knew what the answer was. This is my revelation for us today. Whatever question is being asked, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, what Jesus was looking for was for them to look right at Him and say, I don't know, but You're the answer. I don't know, James, but He's the answer. I don't know, but Jesus is the answer. I don't know, Sunima, but Jesus is the answer. He has been and He always will be. And we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to make it happen. We're trying to figure out, well, if I do this, then this will happen. If I do this, then this will happen. If I do this, and Jesus says, I asked you the question, not because I want you to find an answer. I want you to look at Me. He says, I want you to look at Me. See, that's the whole thing that religion says. The do's and the don'ts. If you get the do's and the don'ts right, then everything will be okay. No, that I've proven that factor wrong in my life. Religion didn't get me anywhere but embarrassed. Religion didn't get me anywhere but stolen, killed, and destroyed. But anything in my life that has brought any freedom, any reality, any zoe, any abundance, any life of God is all out of relationship with Jesus. He asked the question and He knew. You know what He was, and He was just sitting there, Philip, now come on. I'm asking you a question. Where are we going to get the money? And He was waiting for Philip to say, you, Jesus. And then Andrew was looking at him and said, well, you know, I got this going on over here, but it's just not enough. I found this. It's almost like, I got an answer here, but it's just not enough. Look at me. At least I found 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And again, Jesus was saying, okay, what are you going to do with that? Well, it's just not enough. And the other disciples, the word says, they said, send them away. Just send them away. Well, they failed the test big time. Because the whole time, y'all, Jesus was just looking for a people who would say, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but the answer is you, Jesus. The answer is you, Jesus. You see, I'm worried about some things. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what life is doing. I don't understand. Well, the answer is Jesus. This has been going on for 53 years, God. What am I going to do with it? He says, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. Give it to me. Look to me. He said, it's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have the God kind of life. Y'all, it's either the truth or we can close up and go home. I believe it's the truth. I believe it's the truth. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you're dealing with today, there's a question coming your way. If we'll just be still long enough to listen. That's why we did the message on the secret place. If we could just get still enough to listen, we'll hear God ask a question. I've shared this with you before in the past when I was pastoring a church in Monroe. I went for a season that everybody I prayed for died. I prayed for a lady that had cancer. Her sister was believing God. I believed God. The lady died. We had a baby in our church that was going through a terrible situation. I had a dream of him alive and just knew he would live, and he died. Had a family in our church that was going through bankruptcy. They asked me for prayer. They said, we got to believe God for a miracle. I got in there with them. I said, let's believe God. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. And they went bankrupt. I was driving down the road, Old Charlotte Highway, fixing to go under that railroad passing. There in Monroe, fixing to go right up under that railroad. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. And I was in my car and I hit my steering wheel. I said, God, even I wouldn't ask me to pray for me. Everybody I pray for dies. Everything I'm praying for is not working out. Then I heard this question. Well, whose ministry are you worried about? Yours or mine? Well, obviously you had to ask that question. I need to understand. I'm worried about me. I'm worried about me. Y'all, I don't understand why everybody dies, why some people die. I don't understand why things don't work out for some folks. You know, the truth of the matter is, I don't know the history about what's happened anyway. I don't know what they've been sowing in their lives. I don't know what's going on. I do know one thing. God did not kill them. The word says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God says, I've come that you might have life. If we could get the situation from the atmosphere of the enemy into the atmosphere of God, we'll see the life of God. But you see, nobody wants to do what it takes to get there. People want to listen to all the negatives and all the enemy saying, well, they're not going to make it. Or you're not going to make it. Or that church is not going to make it. Or whatever it is they're saying. But there's some people going to say, you know what? I'm not going to be moved by that anymore. Because my answer is not pastor. My answer is not this address. My answer is not Jonathan. My answer is not Mike. My answer is not my job. My answer is Jesus. Jesus. And if we understand it's about relationship and knowing Him, we'll see the abundant life of God. It's either going to happen or it's not. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to see it happen. See, when Philip replied, and when Pastor said this week, it exploded on the inside of me. He said, the disciples had just experienced seeing the miracles of God through Jesus' life. They saw it. They witnessed it. They were a part of it. They benefited from it. Spiritual amnesia came upon them. And the first thing Philip did was not get in faith. He moved by sight. Faith says that my God shall supply all my needs, even if it's 15,000 people. That's way bigger than most of us will ever have to deal with. But God says, I'm going to give you a way bigger illustration so that you'll understand what you're dealing with is not bigger than I am, saith God. Philip couldn't get in faith. Andrew says, well, we got this. But it's not enough. And Jesus is sitting there. When Philip said what he said, Jesus said, come on, Philip. Come on. Yeah, there's not enough money, but where's the answer? One more. Can you see it, Philip? Can you see it, Philip? No, Philip didn't get it. Andrew said, well, we got this. We got a sack. We got a McDonald's Happy Meal right here. 15,000 people in a McDonald's Happy Meal. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, come on, Andrew. Come on, Andrew. And get this, y'all. The other disciples, they said, Lord, this is so much bigger than we are. Just send them all away. How much it grieved the heart of God. How much it must have grieved the heart of Jesus when he said, man, I've been with you all this time. You've seen the miracles. You understand that I have more than enough for every situation, for every circumstance, for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place. I have all that is needed, and you can't see it. You refuse to look. Pastor alluded last week to faith. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. And there are times when we understand, Lord, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. It's just not there. I wish it was. But the first thing I'm going to learn in relationship is to be honest. I'm not going to say, oh, by faith, I believe that I am a multi-million. Oh, I don't like that one anyway. That I am whatever. By faith, I believe. And then stand there and make all these proclamations and, you know, oh. I began to think back when we were doing our study on the Holy Spirit. And the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that there are 9 manifestations of the Spirit of God. 9 manifestations. There's tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. There are these 9 manifestations of the Spirit of God. Now, and the word says that these manifestations are given to every man for it. Do we need to read that, or can y'all take my word for it? You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this week and you'll understand I know what I'm speaking, okay? But there's a manifestation in there that when you said this last week, exploded on the inside. I was having explosions left and right. Exploded inside. There is a manifestation called special faith. That God himself says, Michelle, when you're at the end of your faith, you've got no more. He says, Michelle, I've got something for you that you don't have. It's mine. And it's special. And I'm going to give it to you. And it's called faith that's beyond yours. Hallelujah. What are you facing? What is your situation? What is your circumstance? What's going on? The answer is Jesus. Jesus, it's so much bigger than even my relationship with you. What am I going to do? He says, guess what? I've got something for you. And it's called special faith. And I will impart into you what you don't even have. I'll give you faith that'll go beyond your faith. That'll go beyond your faith. That'll go beyond your faith. And you see, you can't receive it if you're not in relationship. Because you know what your head will tell you and the enemy will tell you. A lot of times we give the enemy a lot of credit for what our mind's doing. We'll say, Lord, I don't deserve it. And he says, well, I took care of that too. He said, the cross took care of your deserving anything. The cross took care of it. He said, my blood covers it. Well, Lord, you know, last week I said a couple of bad words. He says, my blood's bigger than your bad words. Well, Lord, last week I failed. He says, you know what? My blood's bigger than your failure. Well, Lord, last week I acted like a fool. Lord, last week I acted like a sinner. And he says, you know what? My blood's bigger than the way you acted. He said, I knew you before the foundation of the earth. I wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The day you said, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, I sealed that name in that book. He said, I'm not letting go of you. And he said, I'm not moved by what you do right or what you do wrong. I'm moved by where you're looking right now. Who are you looking at? Where are you looking? The birds of the field, are they worried? No. How much more are you to me, God says, than just the birds of the field? How much more? First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Is this helping anybody? Oh, Lord. It's helped me all week long. I can't find 1 Timothy. I know I wrote 14:33. Second Timothy 1:7. I'm sorry. Second Timothy 1 and verse 7. Now look at this. Pastor said this last week, or alluded to this last week. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. And Pastor talked to us last week about the fact that fear is a spirit, not an emotion. Now I see, I was thinking about that all week long. If fear is a spirit and not an emotion, then I don't have to have it. Did you hear what I just said? If fear is a spirit and not an emotion. It doesn't belong here. And he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what's he given us? A spirit of power. And what else? And what else? Amen. What more do we need? If I have a spirit of power, bring it on, devil. The power that is resident and alive on the inside of me is greater than anything you've got to throw my way. A spirit of love. All those people who have hurt, wounded, abused, used, killed, tried to destroy, whatever they did. Guess what? I have something on the inside of me that goes beyond my natural ability. It is a spirit of love, not a spirit of fear. So I can face my enemies in love and say, I love you with the love of the Lord, because there's a spirit of love on the inside of me. And last but not least, and this is where I needed to get in this week, is I have a spirit of a sound mind. Because circumstances, situations, people, life, the economy, what's going on with the tornadoes, what's going on with the tsunamis, what's going on with the earthquakes, what's going on with these false revelations of when's Jesus returning, I am not going to be moved by any of that, because there is a spirit of a sound mind on the inside of me. And I'm going to walk by that, not by sight. I'm going to walk by the spirit that's been provided for me, not a spirit of fear. It's not an emotion. It's a spirit, and you don't have to have it. But what can you have? You can have a spirit of power. Bring it on. Superman! Power! And it's not me. It's the power of God. That's right, Scott. Excuse me for spitting. It's the power of God. There's anointing there. There's a power of God. Holy water. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of power. So when I'm at my weakest point, y'all, I've been being attacked in the last couple of weeks. I've been being attacked to where I could not get my head off the pillow. And it was different than anything I've ever faced before, because it wasn't like depression. It was just weakness. I didn't have the strength to get out of bed. And I'd get out of bed, and it wasn't just a little bit longer. I'd crawl right back, because I just didn't have the strength to get up. And I didn't know why I was being attacked this way. It was just different. And I'd lay in bed and I'd say, oh, why am I here? There's so much I need to be doing. I've got so much that have got to happen. Why am I laying here? I was like, I don't have the strength to lift my arm. And this week, as I was meditating this, the Lord said, guess what? I have a spirit of power for you, Mike. Tap into it. God, I don't feel like it. I know you don't. So I've got special faith for you. I'll give you something that'll give you the won't. So I started saying, okay, Ron, I'm going to tap into the power of God. And this is something I'm walking out right now. There have been times, even this past week, where I just didn't have the strength to move. And you know, I can sit and list all the reasons and the whys. I can do all the blames. But you know what? I'm so God to you today. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. You know what, y'all? Can I tell you this? If you and I will just start saying yes, Lord, special faith will kick in, and we'll find our bodies responding to it. La 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 la. That's exactly right. Pastor, would you read that scripture out of the Amplified? 2 Timothy For God has not given us a spirit.
For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing, and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control.
Wow. Now tell me anything in this room that's going on, the answer's not right there. Well, it'd be, the answer would be if I win the lottery. You'd find yourself in deeper trouble than you are right now. Well, the answer is if so-and-so hadn't molested me when I was a child, the answer is Jesus. The answer is if my boss wouldn't treat me the way they treat me, the answer is Jesus. Well, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. He says, guess what? I got a spirit of love to give you for them. Because you don't know what's been working in their lives that has brought them to the point in the way they are right now. But I know. And I sent you in their path so that they'd be loved unconditionally. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Neither was the cross. But it was needful. It was absolutely imperative. It had to happen. And he says, you know what? My love that I'll put on the inside of you and that spirit of a sound mind will help you rise above what they, how they make you feel. And you can love them with the love of the Lord. And you can see in them what he sees in them. And that will make all the difference. So I end this morning with a question to you and to me. Well, let me read this because this is good. He said to Philip, when my faith is at a level to where I question God, he has faith for me. For Andrew, when my faith is like Andrew, and I say that this is what we have, but it's not enough, he has special faith to bring us into more. When my faith is completely absent, and I say, Jesus, forget it. Just let it take care of itself. He gives me faith to say, the answer is here. The answer is in front of us right now. The answer is what he really wanted us to look at in the first place, is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Father, I don't know what everybody's dealing with. I know what I'm dealing with, and some of that I don't even know about. But the Lord, I do understand this morning. As Pastor preached last week, and as I've meditated on this throughout the week, I understand, Lord, that the answer is Jesus. What my future holds, the answer is Jesus. Where I belong, the answer is Jesus. What's going to happen? The answer is Jesus. How am I going to make it? The answer is Jesus. How am I going to get through this? The answer is Jesus. What about all of them? The answer is Jesus. What about what they're saying? The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Jesus, I look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. I thank you for a spirit of power. A spirit of love. And a spirit of a sound mind. As I was praying, I really felt like the Lord was saying that there's some folks in this room today and you've been dealing with the issue of a sound mind. Some of you feel like your mind is so messed up it's never going to be right. Some of you feel like that there's so much going on in your head
that you can't even hear anything beyond what's going on in your head. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to hear and apply this truth to your life, that you might be transformed into His image. Right now, receive the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, and the Spirit of a sound mind, and you tell that spirit of fear to go in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go. You receive what God has provided for you. Jesus is standing in front of you right now saying, so what do you think the answer is? And He's not asking you that question because He wants to know what the answer is. He knows what the answer is. He's asking that question to see if He can test you to see if you'll say, Jesus, the answer is you. Lord, I thank You today for a baptism in this room of power, love, and a sound mind. We receive. If you receive that, say, I receive. I receive, Lord, right now. The Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, and the Spirit of a sound mind. I'm not going to be moved by this world, the situations of this world, my past, my present. I'm not moved by my future. I'm moved by Jesus Christ. Christ and Christ alone. Lord, for those people that are dealing with their mind that is just soaring out of control, I thank You for a Spirit of sound mind. Not just a phrase, not just an emotion, a Spirit of sound mind received right now in the name of Jesus to take us beyond where we are, to move us into what You have for us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, please cause us to leave this place changed. Please help each of us not worry about what's happening to the person next to me, but to look to You and say, Lord, I give You my situation. I'm not worried about them. I agree with them for what You're doing in their lives, but today, Lord, I'm not looking at what's happening to them. I'm not looking at what's happening to him. I'm not looking at what's happening to the church. I'm not looking at who's here and who's not here. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking to Jesus. And I receive power, love, and a sound mind. When I deal with those things, when I deal with those people, when I deal with those circumstances, I will deal with them out of the Spirit of power. Power of God. Love. Love of God. Sound mind. The mind of God that equals a Zoe, the life of God. And not just a little bit, but in abundance. In abundance. Thank You, Father. And everybody that receives said amen.